My dear friends in Christ, I picked that excerpt from Father Lord's book on the rosary on account of it being the mystery of the Assumption. And as we have dedicated this conference to the Pope of Fatima, Pope Pius XII, who pronounced the dogma of the Assumption, I found it fitting. I found it fitting to start off this conference today, this day of recollection of knowledge of Mary. One thing I have come to realize is the more I find out about our Blessed Mother, the more I don't know. But with each new gem, a new hope. I think it's profitable for us to contemplate the devotions that were promoted at Fatima, being at the conference dedicated to Our Lady of Fatima. And not just to know these devotions, but to practice them, and maybe some ideas of how we could practice them better. Of course, we know that at Fatima, the rosary was promoted. Pray the rosary each day to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war. I like studying the history that surrounds the Second World War. And looking through the different pictures of men as they're preparing to go into battle, especially of the Allies, I have found so often you'll find these men in the boats ready to go into Omaha Beach, or paratroopers, the Screaming Eagles, Easy Company, jumping out of planes. And you find every now and again, more often than you would expect, as the soldier is clutching his rifle, he is also hanging on tight to his rosary. And our Blessed Mother, in appearing to the three children and requesting that the rosary be prayed each day for peace and the end of the war, she was talking about World War I. But they also took it for World War II, which they were involved with at the time. And I'm sure our Blessed Mother meant it for every in any war. Not just the war that are made up of munitions and bombs, but more importantly, the spiritual war, which we go through each day, every day. That's why our Blessed Mother said, pray the rosary each day. Another devotion promoted, the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And through the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg thee for the conversion of poor sinners. The Fatima prayers. And after the vision of hell, our Blessed Mother is speaking to these terrified children who just witnessed the tragic end of souls. Who have lost heaven and were sentenced to hell. She says, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. It's interesting, and I think it's important for us to put these things together. Hell, what is its opposite? The Immaculate Heart. Total corruption, total purity. On October the 13th, 100 years ago today, the miracle of the sun, there appeared the Holy Family, Jesus, Saint Joseph with child, Jesus, Our Lady of the Rosary. Also appeared was Our Lady of Sorrows, with Our Lord on his way to Calvary. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth, with the child Jesus. Now, I want to briefly go over these devotions, which I'm sure you've heard about many different times, but maybe give a little different view that might help us persevere and practice them better. The last devotion, or on October the 13th, the last slew of devotions that were presented to the children of Fatima. There, the Holy Family, Saint Joseph with the Child, and Our Lady of the Rosary, the Joyful Mysteries. Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lord on His Way to Calvary, the Sorrowful Mysteries. And the third, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth with the Child Jesus, the Glorious Mysteries. Let us consider the Rosary for a moment. We've all prayed it, but don't you think we could pray it better? Far too many people complain about the Rosary. It's like, oh, I just don't get anything out of it. My mind wanders. Because it's the same old, all over, all the time. And working with high school kids, I've thought about this quite a bit, because I found myself in the same boat and the same complaint. And the realization keeps coming back to me that we have to have the attitude of not saying the rosary, but praying the rosary. What do we need in our prayers? First thing you need in your prayers, faith, which gives rise to hope, which lays the ground for a love that comes from God. Why do you think the rosary starts off with the three Hail Marys of faith, for faith, hope, and charity, an increase in those graces? But it starts off with faith. Well, let's examine our faith. Our Lord tells us, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd be able to remove mountains, to move mountains. How many times did he complain to the apostles, "Oh, you of little faith"? One of my favorite meditations is the storm that they found themselves in and their boat being tossed and turned by the storm, and our Lord is in the boat asleep. And they run to him all scared. It must have been quite the storm. I granted, they're sailors after all. But it must have been a unique storm to the extent that they ran to our Lord, they woke him up and said, "Save us, for we perish." Why do I like to meditate on this? Seems quite the analogy for our day, doesn't it? The situation in the church. Our Lord asleep. His vicar nowhere to be found. Those claiming to be the spokesmen of him cannot be for Christ. Cannot speak the things that are contrary to the truth. But the fact of the matter is our Lord in the boat? If he's not, then you have worry. Then you have reason to worry. But if he is, then you have no worry. Just because you might fumble around with some answers or some questions that people give you, how to survive in the situation you find yourself in today, the answer is quite simple, although not easy for many. Be one with the truth. How are you one with the truth? Want it. Want him. Not a version of him. Him. He has already been sufficiently explained and promoted to us by the church. He has been presented to us through his church in the writings of the fathers and doctors. And his true vicars down through the ages. So where is our faith? Do I believe that I have him? If I have approached the communion rail this morning and have received him, he's in the boat. What do I need to worry about? The storm that is outside the boat? Storms will always happen on the sea. But whether or not the Lord is within thee is up to you and me. When we have the Lord and we believe we have the Lord and we receive the Lord and we believe that we receive the Lord, then we have hope. You can't help but have hope when you're with him. He's the answer to every question. He's the solution to every problem. He is our life, our salvation. And when we believe that and we understand that, and we understand to the extent that he has come to save us and be with us today, now, who can fail in wanting to love such a master and such a Lord? In praying the rosary, we need to start off with our faith. Let our hope grow in order so that our charity can be perfected. Actually, did you know that the joyful mysteries are mysteries which promote faith? And the sorrowful mysteries, the mysteries that promote hope? And the glorious mysteries, the mysteries which promote charity. the three theological virtues. Isn't no wonder that this weapon was given to us by our Blessed Mother through Saint Dominic, her servant, to help battle heresy? Let us consider the mysteries, the joyful mysteries, faith. Wasn't it our Blessed Mother who had to take it on faith when the angel Gabriel came to her and asked her to be the Mother of God? She checked her faith, knowing that she could not offend God and making sure that this wasn't an agent of hell. How can this be? For I know not man. And the angel Gabriel said to her, "The power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, and the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee." And what was her response? "All right, you're telling me God's going to make it happen? Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, be it done unto me according to thy word." Faith. Wasn't it faith that sent her across the hill country to Elizabeth, her cousin, who she had heard from the angel Gabriel that she was in her last months of pregnancy? For nothing is impossible with God. Wasn't it faith that prompted Elizabeth to cry out and say, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Our Blessed Mother didn't come floating on a cloud to her cousin Elizabeth. She came as a woman, a peasant, no royal clothes or diadems or crowns. Elizabeth recognized, "When I heard your salutation, the babe in my womb leapt for joy." Faith. What do you think? Was it the faith of Saint Joseph that caused him to take Mary for his wife? "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary for your wife." An angel appeared to him, told him the same thing. Did he understand it? No, he didn't understand it. Not completely. He believed. How about the shepherds? The angels came and told them, "Let us go and see this wonderful thing of which we've heard." Why did they go? Because they believed. How about the wise men? What made them so wise? Because they knew science and they were book smart? No. They were the wisest of men because they understood the inspiration from God and believed it. And that grace that they were given, they accepted it. And with great expense from themselves and danger of journey, they traveled. And when they found the child with his mother in the house, they fell down and worshiped because they believed. Gold for the king, frankincense for the God-made man, and myrrh for the price he would pay for us. How about Simeon? You think it was faith? When he heard the babe cry in the temple and walking into the temple, held the babe and says, "Now thou canst dismiss thy servant, O Lord, in peace, because I have seen the salvation of thy people." How about the finding of our Lord in the temple? Was there faith found there? Yes, absolutely. They were searching for him. 3 days, they found him. in the temple. The conversation that takes place between mother and son is astounding. Son, why have you done so to us? Thy father and I have been seeking thee, sorrowing. Why have you been seeking me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand these things, but he went down with them and was subject to them. And Mary kept all these things in her heart, pondering. And there the child grew in grace and age and wisdom before God and man. Could you imagine the faith each day Joseph and Mary had to make as Jesus was growing up? This is God made man. Hope. If you are ever experiencing discouragement or darkness of mind and heart, pause for a moment and meditate on the sorrowful mysteries. And take them personally. Not personally as we're used to, meaning these are the cause of all my sins. Yes, it's important that we know that he did this for all of our sins. But take them personally as the gift he has taken upon himself freely for love of us. The Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world takes upon himself the darkness of our sins to the extent that his divinity becomes silent and it causes him to sweat blood, so that we are not punished for our sins of the flesh. He allows his to be torn with scourges and drained of its blood. For every sin that we have ever committed, being a sin of pride, he allows his head, where our thoughts are, he allows his head to be crowned with thorns in humility, being humbled and mocked. Ecce homo, behold the man. The carrying of the cross, he embraces the cross, as St. Alphonsus Liguori says, when he receives it. Why? Because he bears this cross for love of me and you, so that we can learn of him, meek and humble of heart, and we can take that cross to its goal, which is not Calvary, but the death that we find to self in order so that we can rise with Christ. The sorrowful mysteries are the ones that are, or should be, reminded to each person who assists at Mass every time they go to Mass. He is represented. It's the unbloody sacrifice of Christ on the cross, done not for himself, but for us. Infinite in value, because infinite is his love for us. Should this not prompt hope? Unfathomable? The glorious mysteries. Love. We think of the resurrection, Christ being glorious and victorious over sin and over devil and over death. Why was he victorious? For himself, he was already victorious over death, over the devil, and over sin as God. No, he did it as man for us, so that we also can be victorious over the devil and over death and over sin. He ascended into heaven, body and soul, to prepare for us a place. It is expedient that I go. I have prepared places for you, he tells his apostles. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love and truth, comes upon the apostles at Pentecost. Surrounding our Blessed Mother, they kneel and make the first novena, and at the end, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and fills them with the fire of love for their faith. This same Spirit we should call upon when we meditate upon this mystery. And like St. Paul says, we must stir up the Spirit within us so we can have true charity in our hearts. Not this fake charity that we find in the world. Feel good charity, which lets parents, or which parents use to let their children do things that are most dangerous to their relationship with God, because they want to be buddies with their kids and not parents, and not have a true love for their children, or friends with self, with each other, or spouses, having a whole bunch of other things under the notion of love, which are not love, but quite distinct from love. For the love that comes from God starts with the Spirit, and only from the Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, can we truly have that virtue of charity. The Assumption, which we read about, what greater love can we see demonstrated but the divine Son to his mother? Wouldn't allow the dust of the air to settle upon her body, but assumes it, reuniting her soul to her body, and then crowns her Queen of heaven and earth. But not for his sake, and not just because she deserves it, but for us to be our queen and our mother. I always like thinking about when I'm meditating on the queenship of our Blessed Mother. There's a song that the sisters sing. It says, "You angels call her queen, but we call her mother." Pretty awesome, if you believe it. Faith, hope, and charity. When you pray the rosary, so we won't get into the bad habit of just mumbling off words and not making an effort that needs to be made in order so the rosary can be efficacious to us, do this. Really mean the first Hail Mary of each decade. The first part. Address our Blessed Mother. Just like you would address a friend. Identify her. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. We are using, as the bishop said in this very pulpit yesterday, scripture. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And the second part, mean it with every ounce and fiber of your being. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Don't you want her prayers at the hour of your death? I do. If and when I save my soul, I know 110% it will be because of our Blessed Mother. Especially in this day and age. So don't say the rosary, pray it. Meditate on those mysteries. And let your heart fill with true faith. Deep faith. True hope. And an ardent love. We have Our Lady of Mount Carmel, as we talked about before, showed up on the day of the miracle of the sun. promoting the scapular, which was given to St. Simon Stock quite a few years before. And St. Dominic combines these two, the rosary and the scapular, and says, one day through the rosary and the scapular, the world will be saved. If that's true enough for the world, then it's true enough for me. I make sure I faithfully wear the scapular. Faithfully. I'll not make excuses for it or wear it kind of some of the time, but making sure that I am enrolled in the brown scapular and that I wear it, that I have her mantle of protection over and around me, because when she's protecting me, that loser, the devil, cannot harm me. When I'm close to her, she always keeps him at bay. And always I am close to her son. The Immaculate Heart of Mary. Wasn't it our Lord who, or our Blessed Mother who said, God wishes devotion to my Immaculate Heart? Years before, November 27th, 1839, there was a Sister Justine Bisque-Buru. I'm not sure if I said that correctly. If I didn't, I apologize to Sister. 10 years after the apparition to St. Catherine Laboureil, where she received the miraculous middle, this Sister Justine was also a sister of charity. She was a confidant of Pope Pius IX, and her devotion that she spread was that of the green scapular. The green scapular was given for the conversion of sinners, for protection against the devil, for final perseverance. Around the green scapular, or on one side of the green scapular, is the Immaculate Heart of Mary with one sword going through, a fire, with love of God. And around it, you will find Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. You can get these in the bookstore. These, you don't need to be enrolled in a confraternity. A simple blessing from a priest for the revelation of two sister from Our Lady. On the other side is an image of our Blessed Mother with her Sacred Heart, or with her Immaculate Heart. And this little token of our Blessed Mother's love, it's so powerful, yet how many don't even know or use it, or they see it like, oh, that's nice. I'll tell you a story, true story. My parents had to move from the house they were staying in to another home where they live now. Actually, they lived there for quite a few years. But as they were moving in, the lady next door heard that they had children. And she was a cantankerous old lady. And as they were moving in, she was having them put up a fence between. My mom says, yeah, she came out and she scowled at us and looked at us and wasn't none too happy about that. But then again, we found out up to that point, she was none too happy about anything. She had this German shepherd in the back, which she hardly walked, but she yelled at quite a bit. I can dare say that my vocabulary grew by hearing what she would say to the dog. Mom goes, "Cover your ears." Her name was Virginia. Now, before we get back to Virginia, I want to tell you a little bit about our family, my family. We were blessed with a handicapped sister. Her name was Marquita Gabriela. She lived 13 years. She was totally handicapped. Many a hospital visit, an emergency run to the hospital, or doctor visits were commonplace in our house. She would have seizures, and my mom, being a good mom, would try to find out what the problem was and take her to the doctors, and the doctors really didn't know. The disease that she had, I can't even tell you the name of it because it's so uncommon. It's something yellow dash, something or another, and my mom has told it to me a few times. And then I have a younger sister, Angela, and she was just a toddler kid, 3, 4, 5 years old. And on one of these episodes where my mom had to take a run to the hospital, emergency, my mom could find none of her friends in the wings to come and help or someone to go drop my youngest sister off. And her last recourse was the next door neighbor, Virginia. And my mom was desperate. She was like, "Oh." So my mom went next door, knocked on the door, and Virginia answered it. "Oh, what do you want?" And she saw. She goes, "What's wrong?" You know, most hardened hearts, you can't really be yelling at a woman in desperate tears and pleas. Like, okay, what's going on? My mom told her of the incident, or what had taken place, and Virginia goes, "Oh, okay, all right, she can stay here for an hour or two, maybe, you know." So I called my younger sister. Well, my younger sister went in there, and I'm not sure what happened, but by the end, my mom said that the next door neighbor said, "If you need me to help you again, I will." And I'm like, "Well, okay." So they started up because this was an ongoing thing. And so anytime my mom had to go to the, and then she just turned into the next door babysitter. And it's interesting because the vocabulary started to change outside. It wasn't as harsh and as shocking as it had been. And the woman, because the woman started to change. We had come back from boarding school, and my mom goes, "Virginia wants us all to go and visit her." We're like, "What? That woman? No, you know, you're going to go visit." I mean, we would be throwing the ball in the back of the yard, and the ball would go over the fence. And we're like, "Oh." And so we would always have to find a way to go sneak into that yard some way and go grab the ball and then take off in terror back to our yard. And so we didn't, "No, we don't want to go." Of course, my mom's will is stronger than ours. "You're going to go to dinner. We're going to go." So Virginia went and ordered pizza. And it became a tradition in our family. The next year, "We're going to go to Virginia's again," and the year after that. And on one such occasion, I had put a green scapular, as I was taught by the nuns who had been my teachers, about the power of the green scapular. And I had prayed that prayer, because the prayer doesn't need to be prayed by the person who has the scapular, but you can pray it for the person that you give the scapular to. If you have somebody you want our Blessed Mother's help with, give them a nice picture or something and plant this in the frame behind, or Anyways, I didn't want to give it to Virginia because she didn't at that point in time, she didn't want to hear anything about religion. Incidentally, it needs to be reported that my mom tried to pay off Virginia for her kindness by helping her clean her house. She would go there every year. So I told my mom what I was doing, and I stuck this in her couch, and I prayed the prayer. And that woman who hadn't been to church for years, decades, died with the last sacraments and came back to the church and wore the scapular as she went from time to eternity, the brown scapular. We don't make use of these gifts and these secrets and weapons given to us as we should and could. But I believe that Our Lady of Fatima is showing us these things in that vision to say, wake up. Look at what you can use. I'm wanting to help you, and this is the way I can. Just use it. Just use them with faith. Trust. Be an instrument of my love and the love of my son. And last, Our Lady of Sorrows. If I were to pick a handful, say about four books that I would recommend for every Catholic to have in their house, I would recommend these four. Of course, the Bible, an approved version of the Bible, hopefully with some type of commentary so that we can make sense of what we read in the sacred scriptures. Second, the Imitation of Christ. If you've never stuck your nose in the Imitation of Christ, get one. Use it every day. You don't have to read a lot of it. You only have to read a little bit of it. Yes, and it is definitely an inspired work. Sometimes it will uplift you. Sometimes it will give you the kick that you need to get your focus right on the things that are important. The third is the Lives of the Saints. And I'm not talking here of Butler's Revised Version, which a modernist made adaptations to. I'm talking about the actual Butler's Lives of the Saints, or any Lives of the Saints that is approved by the Church. And read of those who have gone before us. Remember in high school, I was taught by her choir teacher, Sister Bernadette, the song, Find Us Faithful. May all who've gone before us find us faithful. Well, how? May all who come behind us find us faithful. How will they find us faithful? If we follow the things that we look to in those we call heroes of our faith. They've made it. One thing about the lives of the saints that I find disheartening is when you get a version of the lives of the saints that they make the saints something to be that they're unreachable. The saints were human beings. Yes, some of them were given the gift of miracles and visions and prophecies and other things like that. But believe you me, they had to follow the Master, otherwise they would not have been saints. They had to deny themselves. They had to take up their cross, and they had to follow him. The same thing we have to do. And we can call upon them to help us. And the fourth book, The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus de Liguori. With that being said, I would like to read you Discourse 9, a part of Discourse 9 about Mary, Queen of Martyrs, about Our Lady of Sorrows. Who can ever have a heart so hard that it will not melt on hearing the most lamentable event which once occurred in this world? There was a noble and holy mother who had an only son. This son was most amiable that can be imagined, innocent, virtuous, beautiful, who loved his mother most tenderly, so much so that he had never caused her the least displeasure, but had ever shown her all respect, obedience, and affection. Hence, this mother had placed all her affections on earth in this son. Hear then what happened. This son, through envy, was falsely accused by his enemies. And though the judge knew and himself confessed that he was innocent, yet he might not offend his enemies, he condemned him to an ignominious death that they had demanded. This poor mother had to suffer the grief of seeing that amiable and beloved son unjustly snatched from her in the flower of his age by a barbarous death. For by dint of torments and drained of all his blood, he was made to die on an infamous gibbet in a public place of execution, and this before her own eyes. Devout souls, what say you? Is not this event, and is not this unhappy mother worthy of compassion? Our Blessed Mother willingly went through this, like her son willingly died on the cross. Before her son preached the Fiat Voluntas Tua, she said her Fiat Mihi, Secundum Verbum Tuum. And it was at that cross and through those pains of unimaginable childbearing that she gave birth to us, her children. Will we not have confidence in her? This queen of martyrs who suffered so much for us, that we might receive her son more perfectly and be forever happy with him in heaven. Our Lady of Sorrows at the cross, her station keeping, is also at the altar every time Mass is offered. And is such a unique mother to priests. For a priest is an altar Christus, and so there is a spiritual relationship beyond explanation. I dare not try, for I barely understand. But my dear friends, as we have talked about at the beginning of this talk, how to make good use of these things that are given to us and these notions and these devotions, there's something that you can do. You can pray to that Mother of Sorrows for priests daily. As her son was targeted, they are targeted, but they are not her son. I speak for myself when I say they are the weakest of the instruments. For this is how a priest knows that God is working through him, because he knows of him by himself he could not do the things he does. But you can help the priests by praying to our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Sorrows, for the priests of your parish and the true priests of the world. I have these little pamphlets, which I will pass out to anybody who want them. Prayers to our Mother of Sorrows for priests. And I beg you, pray them for your priests every day. It doesn't take long. It's very, very short little prayers in there. But in helping your priests, you help your priests do the mission that God has given to them, which is and must be the mission that Christ gave his apostles, to spread the faith, to give hope, and to share the light and love which Christ came to share with us. The priest can't do it by himself, but the priest can assuredly do it with the help of our Blessed Mother. And that can be helped by your prayers for the priest to her. So, my dear friends, as I conclude this talk, I like to conclude with a talk about our Blessed, with how I conclude most talks about our Blessed Mother. And I point to Scripture and how Holy Mother of the Church used certain scriptures for her feast day. There's one that says, "He who finds me shall find life and shall have inheritance from the Lord." If you find her, you find him. If you find her, you find him. "He who eats me shall yet hunger. He who drinks me shall yet thirst." Because you get a devotion to our Blessed Mother, you want to love God more and more perfectly. "He who hearkens to me will not be confounded. Never was it known that anyone who fled to her for protection, implored her help, or sought her intercession was left unaided. They who work by me shall not sin." When you're with her, you're away from that loser, the tempter, the devil. "And they who explain me shall have life everlasting." Please kneel.